Thanks, guys. Thank you, Nathan, Carly, and Sandy, right? Awesome. Thank you, guys. Sometimes I just want to keep singing. My name's Jonathan. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's very humbling. I'm always actually surprised why he would put me up here. So, and it really is just a testimony of what God can do in anybody's life and heart. So, thankful to be here. Now, just a reminder, next week is potluck. Next week is big. It's baptism, too. Oh, okay, so next week is an awesome celebration of what God's doing, okay? So we're going to be baptizing, we're going to be dedicating children, and we're going to have a potluck. It's going to be awesome. Celebrating what God's doing in the life of our church. Yes. And I forgot this announcement. So here, we're just going to do this. Just bring whatever you want for the potluck, okay? Oh, getting wild. Just bring whatever you want. I'm not assigning anything. Just show up with something. That was an elder's idea. I'm not telling you who it is, just so if it doesn't work, it doesn't backfire. We'll bring the chicken. The church will bring the chicken. I'm going to get through this, y'all. It's going to be a fun day. Bring whatever you can, and we'll have fun. We'll have plenty of food. Now, we've been working through Hosea for several weeks now. Just a reminder, Hosea is about a people who just keep running after really everything but God. And God loves them enough to keep coming after their hearts and not leave them where they are. That's really important today. Have you ever had a friend who would love you that much? They're annoying, aren't they? Yeah, it's not comfortable at all. But I can't imagine my life without the people who have leaned into me and not let me stay where I was. So today, Hosea might be that friend for you. I pray that he is. This morning, we're going to be in Hosea 10, verse 11 through 13. If you want to go there, we'll get to that in a minute. Hosea chapter 10, verse 11 through 13. And this story today is a story of grace in the middle of consequence. It's a story of grace in the middle of consequence. And by that, I mean, this is not a story about how God gets you out of the mess. It's really a story about what he's going to do in the midst of it. What he can do. What he will do. And sometimes we just can't see it. And so today, maybe we will. That's what my prayer is for you and for me. Let me ask you, do you believe God can speak to you today through Hosea? Do you believe he wants to speak to you? And not just speak to you in a particular place in your life where you need freedom. All right, well, let's go to him once again. Lord, we confess that to you, and we believe that of you. And so you're just going to, this is not on me, thankfully. I thank you for all you've done in my life, all you're doing in our lives, and you've led everyone to this place today. So you can speak words of life. And so prepare our hearts to receive that. We love you. Amen. Now, when I was a kid, we moved into a new house or a newer house, and my mom became obsessed with the lawn. She wanted a Bermuda that was really thick and full and a dark green. Green's not enough. So she goes to the feed and seed. We're young. She's young. We go to the feed and seed place, and she's like, hey, what do I do with this Bermuda? And so he gives her all the instructions. My mom writes it down. You know, she writes everything down. She goes home, and she does the spreading, does the watering. You know, 2 weeks later, man, I'm like, wow, this is working. So she does it the next week. She does it the next week. And the next week. And the next week. Y'all, by the 1st of July, I can't get the mower to get... it's so thick. And my dad, when we moved, he just bought the smallest mower. I mean, it would have been enough for a normal yard. But this mower, we'd go about 5 feet, and then... Have you ever experienced this? I'm done. You know, and so it would take two of us to push this mower. So it was twice the effort. And then when you get done, guess what? It's time to do it again. So twice a week, twice as much, all summer. I'm like, when is this summer going to end? You want to pray for rain so you don't have to mow that day, but then it's double down, right? And then it's just more grass. Come to find out, one small detail that was not right on the instructions is don't do it once a week, once a month. Okay? Once a month was all it needed. I think the whole earth was greener that summer. I'm not kidding. So let me ask you, have you ever felt, did my summer describe a season of your life that you've been in maybe? Something, you know, where you think, man, I'm doing everything here. It feels like I'm doing everything and it's just not turning out the way I'd hoped. You're frustrated. Maybe you're confused. Maybe you're exhausted. Like you're putting in the work, the effort. You're doing a lot, but life is not turning out the way you had hoped. But here's the truth. Your life is growing something right now. It's growing something. Every day, your life... Am I too loud? Okay. Every day, your life is being shaped by something. You might be saying that differently in a minute. I might. It's not staying the same, even when it feels like it's not changing. It's always producing something. It's producing what you are consistently nurturing it with. You know, and it doesn't take much. Yeah, what my mom did in 5 minutes a week changed the course of my summer, right? It doesn't take much, just a few minutes. Now you wake up and you feel relatively content, and then you pick that phone up, right? Maybe a little scrolling, and all of a sudden you're like, my life may not be as good as I thought it was. You start comparing. You start shopping, maybe. You start doubting. Your heart begins to sink. You begin to question everything. You start, I look in the mirror. Or maybe I don't want to look in the mirror. I'm never going to be like that. I don't know what's going on, but it doesn't take much. And you're like, I don't know how I didn't start out to feel this way this morning. But this is what I'm nurturing my life with, and it starts to shape you. It's growing. Something's growing. And before you realize it, it's affecting your thoughts, your desires, your reaction, and you're like, where's this coming from? And so this morning we get to ask, that's a good question. Where is it coming from? What is shaping your life right now? And where is that going? What direction is your life going right now? There is a harvest in your life. It's being shaped by something. It may not be producing exactly what you had in mind. And that's really what God's confronting Hosea with, or Israel in Hosea right now. Like, if I want you to think about this. Israel is really, at this point, If you haven't been following along, I invite you to go check out the sermons. They're online, but just to break it down real quickly, they're at the peak of strength right now. They are a strong nation. The northern kingdom is very strong. They have strong borders. They have a strong economy. They have a strong military. They are very productive right now. The only problem is, it's not leading them to God. Hosea 8, I think it's 14, it says they are sowing the wind, but they are reaping a whirlwind. Oh, they're productive. There's a harvest taking place. It's just not one that honors or reflects the heart of God. So here's where we are. Have you ever seen those sod machines that just pull the ground up and the grass, and it just rolls it up, and all of a sudden it's just the bare ground is right there? Well, that's what we're doing today. That's what God is doing. He's rolling it back, and he's saying, let's look at what's underneath, okay? So here we are in chapter 10, verse 11. Ephraim, I'll say it 10 ways today. Ephraim was a trained calf that loved to thresh. That sounds like a dope rhyme, right? Like, what does that mean? Ephraim was a trained calf that loved to thresh. Well, I mean, they're a farming culture, so they understand exactly what this means. Threshing was one of the easiest jobs an animal could do back then, okay? The grain had already been cut, so they would lay it out on a flat surface, and the animal would just walk in circles, and as they walked, it would just break everything up and remove the stalks, and so it was a steady job. It was very manageable work. In fact, God put in to the law this beautiful, it's just like, how does he think of all this stuff? In Deuteronomy 25:4, it says, "You shall not muzzle an ox when it's treading out the grain." So in other words, this animal was allowed to eat while it worked. Hey. All right? So imagine the sun's on its back, the grain's just right there. Anytime you want a snack, nibble, nibble. Like the load was light. Ephraim was a trained calf that loved to thresh. Like who wouldn't? This is George Costanza's dream. It's easy. It's comfortable. It's all working in its favor. And God goes on to say, "I spared her fair neck." This is not accidental. You got to ask, why would he do that? Why would he do that? God's protected Israel. He's kept him away from the heavier work. He's chosen things that were lighter. He's been generous. He's been good. He's given him a land, a covenant, a future, a name. In other words, they're known, they're protected, and they're provided for. But over time, they get used to it. Over time, instead of letting God's kindness continue to lead them, instead of God's kindness drawing them near so they would continue to walk with them, they went their own way. See, God blessed them. He kept the load light. Why? Well, we see in Exodus 19, he says, "Because I've called them to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a nation set apart from all others." Imagine this, that they would walk so closely to him, that they would reflect him, that the people around them, nations around them, would look at Israel. And when they look at Israel, they see God. They don't see them, they see God. They see not just God, they see God's character, God's heart, God's love. That's what he had in mind. That's why the work was light, because he had such a great purpose for them. You see, over time, they start looking at their neighbors. They start scrolling. Even back then, they're scrolling. And they're like, "I want what they've got. I want this, I want that, I want that. I want to look like them." So they stop seeking God. They start choosing other things, things that felt easier, safer. They felt more in control of what was going on. And see, underneath all this, something was taking root. Sin was getting into their hearts. And what that was doing, it was turning them inward. So rather than looking at God, it was about me. It's like, what do I need for me? More control, more security, more comfort. And eventually your life, at that point, it's no longer reflecting God anymore. You're living, and they were living, to sustain themselves. And they're catching up with people. Look, their nation is growing. They're catching up with people, and so they're probably thinking, "Man, this feels about right." But you know just like I do, the moment you think you've caught up, there's something else, right? There's something more to chase. There's something more you don't have, and we never feel settled. Here's just one example. Comfort isn't a problem. I don't mind having a roof over my head. But when comfort becomes the goal, it will pull. It's not it might pull you away. When comfort becomes the goal, it will pull you away from God. It's going to happen. We all have a version. I can tell you mine right now. What would be simple, easy, and comfortable? If we're not careful, here's the warning. If you're not careful, this is what happens. You begin wanting that more than God. And so that's where they are. But see, the option of ease is about to be removed from them. He goes on. "But I will put Ephraim to the yoke. Judah must plow, and Jacob must harrow for himself." In other words, the season of easy threshing is over. God is placing them under a yoke. Not because he's trying to abandon them, but really because they refuse to return to him. And so now what was light is going to become heavy. What was easy is going to be costly. And this is language of discipline. Plowing, harrowing, breaking up the ground. But it's for a reason. What ground is being broken up right now? It's ground that has been untouched for too long. And this is different from threshing work. They're no longer working in circles. They're pulling weight. They're going through the ground and it is resisting. Have you ever plowed ground? My dad grew up with a plow and a horse. I didn't. I had a tiller, but when it hit a rock, when it hit hard ground, that thing bucked. Anybody? No? It's hard. It's difficult. And that's the idea here. The soil is now pushing back. The work slows down. You feel it. And God's not, hear me say this. God's not saying, you did some bad stuff, so you go over here and do some work for me. That's not it at all. He is correcting them. He's course correcting them. See, there's a harvest coming, but it requires the soil to be opened up, to be broken and opened up, and thresh floor work is just not going to get it done. So God does what they can't do, what they won't do. He puts them under a yoke, not to crush them, not to destroy them, but to break open this hard soil. God tells them, hey, break it up, seek me. That's what you need to do. But you know what happens, right? They don't. They don't. And the ground stays hard. Now, you know, just so you know, he's not trying to give them farming instructions. The ground that he's talking about is their heart, right? And that's a deeper reach than the ground. For them right now, it seems out of reach. So here, again, not only is Ephraim, not only is Israel a strong nation, they also, by if you just look at a glance, they're also still very religious. They're still going through the motions. They show up. They have priests. They have altars, sacrifices. Josh did a great job on this last week. I'll just touch on it. They're going through all the motions. It looks like they're committed to God, but God keeps saying, hey, I desire steadfast love, not sacrifice. You're essentially, you're performing something that is not changing your heart. And this is what we do today. It's easy for us to go through this right now. Like, even in our world right now, we can go through the motions. We can Christianese. You can look the part, sound the part. You can look like I'm following Jesus. It can all look like it's in place. The problem is, you can do all that, and you can still keep a careful distance from God. You can be going through all that and still be like, but right here, this is the place I don't want you to go, Lord. See, hear me. Sometimes the most dangerous sin is not the obvious one. It's not even the most outrageous one. Think about it. The prodigal son, even he came to his senses. I mean, he even looked, he's like, it's got to be something better. Sometimes the most dangerous sin is not the obvious one. The most dangerous thing is that we could create, and just for simple terms, a Christian life where we're not required to go to the deeper places. That we could create a rhythm in our life and think this is okay. That we could go through the motions and not allow God to go to the deeper places of our life. Places where we literally don't want to let the plow touch. I've never sold land. I don't have land to sell, but I've seen people that have had to sell their land. And you know how it goes. They sell everything, but there's this one place they're holding out, right? This one place, like I'll sell everything, but if I can just hold on to this piece, man, I'll be okay. And they will hold on to it as long as they can. Friends, it's no different in our life. There's a place in our lives that we're just not really ready to surrender to God. So let me just ask you, for a simple visual, where have you put a no trespassing sign up in your life? Where is the not for sale, whatever you want to call it, no trespass? In fact, you know how you can get I can get right up to here and then it's like off limits. We are off limits at this point. Where is that, friend? All right, let's keep going. Verse 12. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Sow righteousness. Reap steadfast love. What does it mean? What he's saying is live a life that reflects the heart of God. Live so near to him that the love of God is flowing out of you. And here's what you will experience. You will reap steadfast love. And what is that? That is a covenant type language. When he talks about reaping steadfast love, it's the kind of love where you don't have to prove yourself, where you are known, where you are secure. Think of that place. Think of a relationship in your life where you feel secure, where you feel known, where you don't feel like you have to prove yourself. Not dismissing your sin. I'm just talking about a place that's so secure that you can finally just breathe. That's what he's saying. That's what it looks like to reap steadfast love. It's to finally be in the arms of the Father so secure that you're like, I can rest. I can rest. And God is saying, seek me right here in the difficult place. Let me break the ground. Would you stop managing it? Maybe stop protecting it? Let me go to work. Let me go to work. And that work might require a yoke being placed on you. And we are, by nature, we want to resist that yoke. That might be too much for me. That might crush me. Listen, friends, the yoke is not what's going to crush you. It never will. Avoiding the yoke, that's where we get into trouble. That's where we get into trouble. I'm going to give you an example, and it's going to cost me some skin here. I'm on my front porch, less than 2 weeks ago, recently. You know, and I'm having some time with God. And I can't believe they sang that song about nature. I'm hearing the birds. It's, what is that, the dawn chorus? You know, they're all singing. And the jasmine is blooming. So I'm stopped for a moment. I'm just like, I'm hearing all that you created. I'm smelling it. Lord, you're pretty good at this. You're really good at this. And then all of a sudden it's like, but you know what? I didn't call it a performance review, but I said, God, you know what? I want to be honest with you right now. Yeah, I see you doing all the work here, but I opened my journal. I don't journal a lot, so I'm just gonna be honest with you. It said January on it. That's how that prayer. But I've been praying that prayer, and I said, see this prayer, Lord? I don't see any traction here. I mean, it kind of went like this. I'm praying. I don't see you doing. I'm doing this. I don't see you doing anything. Do preachers do that? Do they have those conversations with God? Yes. You know what he sent back? Not standard delivery. I thought that might take 3 to 5 days. Right back. Kindly. Colossians 3, just like that. I hear you, Jonathan. Colossians 3. In fact, Colossians 3:12, I'm not going to read it all, but he says, put on. Here's a yoke, Jonathan. Here's something you need. Put on, as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, put on a compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgive. Again, I'm not going to read it all. Put on love. It binds everything together in perfect harmony. And this, I'm reading this, and let the peace of Christ rule your heart. And it ends with, and be thankful. I realized in that moment, I only could put it into words as I'm working on this message, but that prayer, it's not that it didn't matter, but the prayer was not the plow I needed. I had been using that prayer to walk circles. See, I'm doing the thing. I'm praying, Lord. I've been praying. I'm going through the motions, but nothing's changing. I'm talking to you, but I don't see anything happening. See, but God's giving me something, not silence. He's giving me direction. And hear me, he's not saying, fix this, Jonathan, then we'll come back to your prayer. He's saying, no, no, that prayer is not forming you. And right now, I'm going to give you something that's groundbreaking. It's for your heart, for your life. This place, right here, Jonathan, that's where we're going to work. I'm going to break that spot, that hard soil in your heart. That's what I'm going after right now. That's what's going to give you life. See, we have to ask this question. At some point, you have to ask this. Are you willing to let God get into that part of your life right now? Are you, maybe today, you can just say, today, Lord, am I willing to just stop managing this and hand it over to you? It's not about more activity. It's not about performance. It's letting God put his hand on your life in that place and say, let's go to work here. And here's the thing. The longer you wait, the harder the ground gets, right? The more difficult it is. You know this, right? You know it's more difficult to receive. You've had moments where you feel like, Lord, I'm ready. And then you walked away, and it's harder and harder to receive what he has to offer you. Israel, let there be no mistake. They're in a moment that it's already been set into motion. The consequences for Israel and the pattern and the life they've been living, it's unavoidable. Judgment is coming. But God is still calling them. Do you hear that? In the midst of all of what's happening, in the midst of inevitable consequences, God is calling them. My friends, let's land here. Let's just get right here for a second. Grace does not erase your past. It doesn't put everything in reverse. It doesn't undo things that have been set in motion. Consequences are still real. But grace, what God's saying is, grace will meet you in the middle of it. I will meet you in the middle of it. And I will give you a different way forward. It doesn't change what has happened, but it can change the way you move forward in your life. A harvest is coming, and by God's grace, what grows next in your life doesn't have to be the same. We go on to verse 13. He's not softening up, is he? You have plowed iniquity, and you have reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies. In other words, he's saying, hey, you haven't started farming. You haven't stopped. You're still working, you're planting, you're producing. Israel is producing something. But because they have refused to let God break the ground of their heart, here's what they're cultivating. He says it's iniquity. And look at how it's worded. He says, you have plowed iniquity. That's stronger than it may sound at first. Listen, we tend to think, okay, you sow sin, you reap the consequences. You visualize, I put the seed in the ground, it's a bad thing, it grows up, bang, let's pull that out. He goes back. He backs it up a step further. He says, no, you have prepared the ground for it. Plowing comes before sowing. It's what breaks up the soil. It makes growth possible. So hear me. This isn't about what you just like, this is what I did. And I don't need to do that again. This is about what we are allowed. He's giving a broader picture. This is what you have allowed to come in. This is what you have allowed. Patterns you have tolerated, lies that you've lived with, things that you've avoided, truth that you refuse to face. This isn't random. He's saying this was cultivated. Sometimes the harvest you never intended was really, it just comes down to soil that you've tolerated. And over years, this is what happens. And what he's saying is eventually you have to live off what you've grown. He says you've eaten the fruit of lies. And he names the root because you have trusted in your own ways and in the multitude of warriors. Just one snapshot. They had at that point about 2,000 chariots. That is a large force. That is a strong army. So when he's saying you trust in your own way and you rested, you've relied on the strength of your warriors, he's saying, this is a way I can handle this. I don't need your help here, God. I got this. They trusted their own ways. That's a problem. Not just because it's wrong, but because it doesn't lead to life. You felt that, right? You felt that. You've experienced that in your own life. You push, you try, you get what you thought you wanted, and then something still feels off, right? It's not what you'd hoped for. So here's the question. What do we do? What do you do when you get to that place? Let's go back to verse 12. Let's dig in a little bit better. Verse 12 says, sow for yourselves righteousness. Break up the ground. He says, seek the Lord that he may come. Hear this promise. This is just really simple. This is just God's word. He's saying, turn towards me right now. Turn to me right now, and I will meet you there. I will meet you in that place. When I was sitting on that porch, basically what I was praying for is like, I'm ready for the rain, Lord. I'm ready for change, Lord. What I realized, my heart wasn't. The ground of my heart was not actually ready to receive. He could have answered the prayer, and I would like, I want more. Just being honest. The ground gets so hard, the rain comes down, it just runs off. It can't soak in, and nothing grows. So God's not saying, wait for the rain. Just wait for the rain, Jonathan. Just pray it again, pray it again, pray it again, pray it again. I'm not against prayer. I'm not saying prayer is not a problem. I'm just saying, he didn't say wait for the rain. He's like, man, we need ground to break right now. We need ground to break. Listen, if it gets to the point where you can't receive, what he's saying is, it can be so bad if it's not open. Listen, even the rain of God's grace won't take root. And we don't want that, do we? No, we want to receive. Let me move on. Yeah, you've seen it. You've identified it. Like, there's times I can tell you what the pattern of my life. Allie can tell you. I know his triggers. I know my triggers. Why can't I fix it? Because it's just deeper than the work I can do. It's my heart. Ezekiel says, you got a heart of stone. So what can you do about that? Nothing. Yeah, I can surrender. But Ezekiel 36 says, I will remove the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will remove a heart of stone and give you the heart of flesh. That's a promise. So how does he break this heart? The answer is the cross. The answer is the cross. Hear me. At the cross, Jesus takes everything that you've produced, your harvest. He takes your harvest. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. Your sin, friend, mine, your control, your pride, your lust, your compromise, your gossip, your lies, your harvest. He takes it and makes it his own. The rest of that verse says, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the exchange. I will take your harvest. I will take your harvest of sin and give you my field of grace and give you life. That's the exchange. That's what's happening at the cross. It's not because you can break the ground. It's because Jesus he's been broken for you, friend. He's willing to exchange all that you cannot reverse, all that you have done, to give you a beautiful harvest that you cannot produce on your own. And that's why, man, I mean, I just connected the dots, honestly. You get to Matthew, we have it written. You can't go through our front door before you see, come to me. All who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. 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 Do you like that? Do you long for that right now? Do you need that in your life? Come to me, and I'll give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. How can he say that? What does that mean? Now we understand. The whole, because now I'm not carrying it on my own. He's been carrying it. And what he gives me is good for me. It breaks the soil of my heart so that I can experience his grace, his love raining down on me day after day after day after day. That's the yoke. That's why it's easy. It opens my heart and gives me life. Are you ready for that today? I need to ask you specifically today, are you ready for the ground to break? Is there a place in your life where you're like, yes, Lord, I am ready. This has not been a fancy message. Just let me just ask, are you ready for the ground to break? Stop resisting. Stop managing it. Let him have it. Bring it to light. Lord, I've been doing this my way. And it's not life-giving. I just be honest with you. It's not, Lord. I need you. I need you right now. I need you to break this ground so that I can experience what only you can give me. Galatians 5 tells us exactly what's going to grow there. When you stop managing it and when you give it to him, this is what he says. The fruit of the Spirit. Hear me, friends. Are you ready to receive this? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm telling you for myself, that's a harvest I cannot produce on my own. He is ready for you today. Turn. Stop resisting. Let God break the ground. Let me pray for you, Lord. So we ask right now, that you would do right now in our moment, right now, before the ground, I would just be honest, before it gets resistant to you, Lord, would we surrender right now? And would we stop managing? Would we just name that place with you, Lord, and put the trespassing sign down and let you come in and do what only you can? And we will give you all the glory. We love you. Thank you for doing what only you can do. Amen.